Hey, y'all, time for another movie retrospective.
That's right, getting a bunch of them out of the way.
Yeah, we're actually filming a couple of these at the same time.
Let's get it out of the way.
Yeah, this one we're doing, okay, so we did the first Creepshow, which came out in 1982. We did a review of that, so if you want to go check that out, you can.
These have been on the list for a long time, one and two.
Yeah, we're trying to get these out of the way. So Creepshow 2 is actually on Shudder at the moment also. And I had seen this a zillion times when I was growing up.
It's not a bad movie.
I actually saw this in the theater when it first came out in 1987. So shows you how old I am.
Yeah, well, I saw the first one, but looking over the back of the damn wall of the drive. I told you that one?
Yeah.
I watched it from the back of my house.
Yeah. I think I saw Texas Chainsaw Massacre or something in the... No, Scanners. I saw Scanners at the drive-in. I remember
Part 2 wasn't that bad. It's not as good as Part 1.
Well, okay.
But it's a decent movie.
Now, the original Creepshow from 1982 is really, it's easily one of my favorite 80s horror movies. It's so fun. It's like, you know, we did a review of it before. It's just, the look of it is so cool. The stories are good. All the action.
The animation.
It's funny. It's like really cool looking.
The tone. It's a comic book movie. You can tell. Yeah.
So, Part 2, you know, like a lot of sequels, it kind of suffers because the first one was so good and so iconic. This one came out, you know, 5 years later. It was actually still, the screenplay was still written by George Romero, and they were still based on Stephen King stories, but you could tell that this was kind of a cut rate, or more like budget version of the first one.
It didn't have that same epic feel of the first one.
Yeah.
With, you know what I mean, the animated breaks in between, the setup and the wraparound. That wraparound was tight on the first one.
Yeah. Well, in the first one, too, it wasn't animated. It was live action.
Yeah.
The second one, it was animated, and I really think that that was a mistake. I know that they were probably trying to make it seem more like a comic book movie or seem like that, but the thing that I liked about the first one was that the live action wraparound... you know, was a good story in its own right. And I also liked that the little skeleton character, which they called the Creep in the second one, he doesn't talk. He just like is kind of lurking outside the window and he's all scary and stuff. And then it kind of goes into animation for the credits or whatever.
The first one wasn't animated. It just looked animated because of all those damn candy colors they had on everything during that wraparound.
It looked like panels in between.
The panels. That's what I was talking about.
The second one, you know, all the interstitials, like that's all the wraparound story was actually like a cartoon.
Yeah.
And they made the Creep kind of a character that talked and like introduced the stories and made puns like the Crypt Keeper and stuff like that. And I really, you know, it had a little bit of a story to it that was similar to the first one, like a little revenge story, just like, you know, the EC Comics. But I think it didn't hold up as well. Now, the thing about this one, like I said, it was still based on 3 Stephen King stories. It was originally supposed to be 5, just like the first one. But because I guess they thought it would cost too much to make it, 2 of the stories got cut. Now, 2 of the stories that got cut, there was one that was called Pinfall, which I've read a summary of it, and I don't know if the summary was just badly written or something like that, but I have no fucking idea what they're talking, like what it was supposed to be about. But the other story that was cut was Cat from Hell. Now, that story was actually made later as part of another anthology movie called Tales from the Dark Side.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Which some people actually kind of see as like the spiritual Creepshow 2 or the spiritual Creepshow 3.
Yeah.
Because it still is, it has like the same vibe.
Yeah.
We'll probably do a review of that at some point too, because I really, really like that movie. And Debbie Harry's in it as a witch.
I kind of forgive him for this. I mean, you know, I remember what it was like back then.
Mm-hmm.
We were young. Blockbuster videos and video rentals was now just like a new thing. Everybody had VCRs. And out of the blue, there was a huge demand for fucking horror movies.
Yeah.
That's what we did on the weekend. We went down and rented a bunch of movies and went back and watched them with all our friends. Because we weren't old enough to go out to clubs yet.
Yeah.
So the Hollywood and the independent film scene was doing everything they could to bring things to market quickly as possible. And they weren't really worrying about the theater release that much. I think they were mostly worried about how much were they going to sell this shit to Blockbuster for.
Well, particularly in regards to horror movies and slashers just horror, and stuff like that. Because that's something that, like you said, like a lot of teenagers. And
every weekend we were like, what's out this weekend? What's out this weekend? We were looking for a new one.
Yeah.
And there had to be at least one new It movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Oh, this new horror movie. It's like Herbert West. Or it's like this one. It's like that one. You know what I mean? And that's what the scene was like back then when you were a teenager. And that's what they were. They were just trying to get product to us, I think, as quickly as they could.
It's weird to me too, though, that
Didn't care.
Yeah,
if it was slightly inferior, it really didn't matter. You know what I mean? We were still having fun at the time. We were sneaking booze, watching these things at home. You know?
Well, hell, I willingly watched Sorority Babes at the Slimeball Bowl-a-Rama on Shudder the other day.
We loved them all. We loved them all back then,
which is stupid as hell, but still kind of fun.
And we weren't reading into them as much as a modern adult reviewer would read into them.
Yeah, I think maybe we weren't as picky.
We weren't as picky back then.
I guess not, because some of the movies that I really enjoyed back then, because I loved like all those horror movies, and I used to like, even the stupid ones, I'd be like, yeah, awesome. Me and my brother used to love that shit. And like, I watch them now, and some of them are still super fun.
Some
of them are bad. But some of them I'm like, wow, this is really boring. It's like, how did I sit through this?
Well, we didn't have much choice back then.
Hardly anybody gets murdered. What the fuck? Why did I like this movie?
No internet. The video games weren't that good. There wasn't much choice, and you weren't old enough to go out to the club. It was better. Better than what was on TV.
True.
Yeah.
The thing about Creepshow too, like I said, it's strange if they were trying to get it to market that quickly. They took long enough because the original Creepshow came out in 1982 and was like kind of a big success, I feel like. And then this one didn't come out for like 5 years after that. It seems like too late for a sequel.
I think the production of this was kind of sideways.
It does seem like that because it was it seemed like it had a lot of trouble like getting to.
I think they were just like lucky to get this one made.
Yeah. You know? And in a way, I kind of feel like, I mean, it probably would have been good. I mean, I don't know. I really like the Cat from Hell sequence that they filmed for Tales from the Dark Side, the movie. So if they had put that one and the other batshit crazy one that I can't figure out what it's supposed to be about, if they had put that in this one, it might have been something, because to me, because like I said, I saw this in the theater, it just seemed like, I'm like, only three stories? It's like, that's really
It was not as good lame. As the first one. It was not as good as the first one.
Like, I
but
couldn't
it
believe
wasn't
it.
A disaster.
No, it's not bad. It was not bad.
It was pretty good, and it was, what it was really good at was video rental.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? When this thing came out, you rented it.
You know what's really weird about this? Okay, so I saw this in the theater, and I saw it a bunch of times on home video, and then I didn't see it for many years, probably 15, 20 years. And then we watched it again a couple weeks ago on Shudder.
Yeah.
And do you know what's strange is that I could have sworn, because this is three stories. The three stories are Old Chief Woodenhead, The Raft, and The Hitchhiker.
Yep.
I could have sworn I would have bet a substantial amount of money that The Raft was the first story, but it's not. Woodenhead is.
I hadn't
I'm like, did they switch them, or am I just high?
I hadn't seen it in so long. I thought The Raft was a movie unto itself. I thought there was a Stephen King movie called The Raft.
Maybe
I forgot that it was on a compilation.
Yeah.
Because I remember seeing it.
I
didn't know. I forgot that it was on this movie. I just remember thinking about that scene, you know what I mean? Because I read the book, too. I think it was on Monkey Shines, a little short story. Monkey Shines.
Yeah, it was
I thought it was called Monkey.
What was it? I can't remember.
It was a compilation of Stephen King's short stories. And I thought that was a full-length film, because I remembered those scenes. But then when we saw it on Shudder, it took me back. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot it was on this one. Yeah.
The Raft was actually the only story in it that I had read the short story of it previously. Yeah. The other two, I don't think they were standalone short stories before that. I think they were just written originally for this, if I'm not mistaken.
I didn't read them anywhere
because
else.
I don't remember reading the other ones unless they were in some couple. And I read most of his Night Shift and whatever the fuck the other one was called with that monkey with the symbols on the front.
I must say, though, I kind of got a soft spot for Stephen King short stories.
I do as well.
They're very good because he just gets to the point and, you know, they're not very long and you're like, yeah, that was a pretty cool story. Like The Jaunt, the guy traveling across space-time and shit, and you had to be knocked out in order to do it. If you were awake, it felt like it took a billion years. So when you emerged on the other end, you were insane. That was a good one. And that was like maybe 10 pages.
I feel
pages.
Like he had subject. You know what? And now that I'm thinking about, speaking of Stephen King short stories, you know what another anthology movie we should do is Cat's Eye.
I don't think I remember that one.
Oh,
what was
yeah,
the other one that you were saying?
That was Quitters Incorporated with the guy that was quit smoking and they made him walk around, or they made him walk around a building. And...
I don't think I remember that one.
No, that was a different
one. I do remember the one that, I forgot the name of it, the one that said it was probably the spiritual successor to, what was it?
Tales from the Dark Side.
Tales from the Dark Side, that's right. Yeah, we got to do that one too. That was a good one.
Although that, like I said, that doesn't really have anything much to do with Stephen King, except for he did Cat from Hell.
It was a good one though.
Cat's Eye had, that might have been 3 or 4 stories. It had Quitters Incorporated, which had James Woods in it. He was trying to quit smoking, and he went to this place, and they're like, everybody's watching him, and like, if you sneak a cigarette, they'll like cut off your wife's finger or something like that. And then there's one called The Ledge, which is what I was getting confused, where there was a mobster, and he makes the guy like walk around the building like way up on the fucking skyscraper. And then there's one with Drew Barrymore, and there's like a little demon or something like running around in the... It's good.
I don't remember that one. I don't remember that one.
You don't remember Cat's Eye?
I didn't see it.
We'll definitely have to do that.
I didn't see it.
All right, so Creepshow 2 starts out, even though, like I said, I could have sworn and would have bet you $50 that The Raft was the first story, but it's not. It's Old Chief Woodenhead is the first story.
Yeah, about the damn wooden Indian out in front of
the store. So it's this really old couple, and they own this, like a general store in this, like, nowhere town out in the middle of buttfuck Wyoming or wherever
it is. It's near an Indian reservation, though.
Yeah. So, you know, how they can sustain, well, I guess they're not, but I was going to say how they can sustain a whole general store and like there's like 2 people in this town or something.
Well, it might have been a highway going out in front of it.
I guess so. But yeah, so they're falling on hard. The whole town's falling on hard times, obviously, because like I said, there's maybe about 5 buildings in this whole place.
Yeah.
And so...
some robbers come and rob.
Well, the Native American tribe comes first, and they're like, apparently they've been buying some stuff on credit, and they feel really bad about it. So they go they go to the old people, and they're like, "Here, take our. This is our tribe's like all
tribal
of our
jewelry,
like all of our expensive stuff. Please hold on to it, like until we can pay our debt
it's
back.
Credit for the collateral,
right? Because it's not cool that we owe you all this money, and all this other stuff. So then,
apparently, the Jew is like, I can't do that.
Yeah, and he doesn't want to take it, but the guy makes him take it.
Yeah.
So, I think his name's White Moon.
Yeah.
Now, White Moon has this nephew who is a complete, like...
He's a douchebag.
Taint, yeah.
Like a heavy metal douchebag.
Yeah, he has, like, this really long... He kind of looks a little bit like Ian Astbury, like, in the day, back in the day.
The
lead singer from the Cult. With a beautiful, long...
Thought he was pretty and shit.
Hair, like, his long, luxurious hair.
He was pretty.
And, So, he wanted to, look, you're moving around, making it all blurry.
It's okay.
I
got it under control.
He wants to go to Hollywood because he thinks the minute that everyone sees his hair, that they're just going to put him in all the movies forever.
It's a good story.
And so he needs to steal some money to get the hell out of this nowhere butthole town and go to Hollywood, where he's immediately going to get discovered because of his beautiful hair.
He's got a sidekick who was familiar when I saw him. I go, it's that dude. That wasn't the dude that played from Aliens, wasn't it?
I have no idea. I don't remember.
For the guy who played Corporal Hicks. Not Corporal Hicks. The one that was whining. I thought one of his henchmen ended up being famous in another movie. I could have swore I saw the one of his henchmen. He's like, man, it's that dude. I thought it was a dude from Aliens, but oh well, it doesn't matter.
I could have, like, one of his, he has 2 henchmen, and they come in, and one of the henchmen is named Fatso or Fat Stuff.
Okay.
Wikipedia says Fat Stuff, but I could have sworn he was just saying Fatso. I'm like, is that his name? But I guess it is. That's just what they keep calling him. I'm like, okay, well, that's what his parents named him as soon as he popped up.
I thought one of his henchmen was a guy who ended up being famous, but.
I don't think so. Okay. Like, I can't remember at the moment, like, what he even looks like. I remember the fat guy, because I just remember him in there, like, eating all the snacks.
I thought one of the henchmen was the guy that played Hudson in Aliens.
Was he?
I
doubt
it. It's been a long time now.
Yeah.
It's been a long time. It's been several weeks since we've seen this, but...
Yeah, I don't remember.
Thought it was. Okay.
But, so they go in there to rob the place... And they actually want to get the tribe's jewelry back. But the old guy doesn't want to give it to them. So they're like, you know, threatening the wife and everything. And then the old guy tries to be a hero. The wife gets shot. Then the old guy gets shot. So they both get shot. Now, through this whole thing, the titular old Chief Woodenhead, who is this, one of those...
One of those stereotypical old
Indians that stands out in front of these general stores and shit like that.
Yeah, he holds the cigars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although he didn't have a cigar, did he?
I think he had something. Didn't he have a cup in his hand or something?
It wasn't. I thought it was like a... I don't remember what it was.
Yeah.
It was. I thought it was like a bunch of arrows, but I can't remember.
Yeah, well, they come and they do all this fucking big dishonor. And the Native American Indian magic fucking brings this thing to life. And this wooden Indian goes after him for revenge.
He puts some like war paint on. For dishonoring
Indians. Yeah, it's awesome.
And he goes after.
And of course, it's solid wood. It's fucking indestructible.
Yeah, and he's like walking like a Ray Harryhausen.
It's the Native American Terminator 1.
Yeah, pretty much, except just made of wood.
Mm-hmm.
Although, I thought, you know, it's like, this kind of story, it's kind of cheesy, but it sort of, like, upset me, I guess.
It's a moral tale.
Well, just because, well, all of them are. I mean, the whole point of EC Comics was pretty much all of them were straight-up revenge stories.
Yeah.
And usually, and this story was kind of an exception, but usually none of the characters were all that good or all that likable. They were all, like, kind of morally gray. It's like they were all up to bad shit, and they just, everybody kind of got their just desserts in the end. But this one, actually, the old couple had, you know, were super sweet and super nice, and they never did anything, but they got gunned down in cold blood.
Defending the Indian jewels.
Yeah, defending the tribal jewels. Because they wouldn't give them up to this nephew.
Indian spirits fucking went out there and whipped that ass after that.
Yeah, and so, spoiler alert, because the nephew, Sam, made such a big deal about how beautiful his hair was and stuff like that, so old Chief Woodenhead must have heard that shit because...
Scalp his ass.
Because he got scalped at the end. Because I was like, you know it's coming, because like the whole... Even as a kid, I saw this when I was, 15 years old, I guess. I was 15 when this came out because I saw it in the theater.
Knew that shit was coming.
And it's like as soon as he started going on and on about his hair, he goes in the like photo booth and he's like taking pictures of himself, like looking all foxy and everything. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, that bitch
did look like the singer from the Cult.
He did.
Yeah.
I was like, that bitch is going to get scalped. And I was not disappointed.
And the second one, of course, is about a bunch of teenagers taking their fucking muscle cars down to the lake. And they get up on this big raft that's out there in the middle of the lake. They're grab-assing around with these, you know, 80s girls. And, of course, there's some kind of toxic sludge on top of the toxic sludge monster floating on top of the water.
Basically like a really big killer hefty bag.
Yeah, and it gets underneath the raft. And if you jump off that raft, it dissolves you. And this thing's reaching up through the cracks and grabbing people and pulling them down. And it's bad. It's just like it was in the book.
It's a very, very simple story. It's basically just kind of these four teenagers. They go out to this lake in the middle of nowhere. It's off season, I guess, so there's no one around.
Yeah, they left the car doors open on the Trans Am. They left the damn car doors up with a radio blast.
So they could hear the White Snake.
You hear the White Snake, whatever the fuck it was. Hair metal.
It could have been White Snake.
Hair metal butt rock.
Yeah. It might as well have been a White Snake.
Yeah, and they're sitting there wondering, you think we can make it? Think we can swim across? And of course, this thing's already killed the good-looking girl.
She didn't last long.
No, and it got down to where that last guy said, fuck it. And while it was eating one dude, he jumped across.
While it was eating the girl.
While it was eating her, he took across, and he made a break for it to swim across the top of the lake. And he did make it. But he didn't roll away fast enough, and that shit came like a wave and got him, pow, up on the beach.
See, I feel like this whole story could have been avoided by, one, just staying in and playing video games and
not
going
outside.
He had to
do what a dude does and fucking talk shit. Yeah, I made it. Got him.
Well, like I said, so many poor decisions. And I know that that's kind of a thing with a lot of horror movies. So many poor decisions. Okay, one, this water is like cold enough to cause cardiac arrest, and yet we're still going there. Anyway, there's no one else around. We'll leave the car running, so the battery will be sure to be dead when we get back. That'll be cool. They get there pretty much within 2 minutes after they get to the raft. Actually, even before they get to the raft, I think they see the weird thing floating through the water. And they get up on there, this monster comes, and then one of the girls, I think, kind of falls in right away and gets eaten. So they know, like, what they're dealing with right away. Now, the other guy that gets killed, like, the sort of, like, douchey, like, jock dude.
Yeah.
I always remember him getting killed because he basically gets sucked in between
the cracks of the cracks boards.
And his leg is like going like that, going like
there.
That, crack!
Yeah, it pulled him through there.
Oh, it's so awesome.
It was strong, too, you know, and it was going to dissolve you and pull your skin off your skeleton and shit. It was pretty bad.
Well, and here's the thing, though. It's like, so the one guy...
kind of like the Blob.
the one guy and the one girl are left over.
Yeah.
And I think this, the girl that was left was, I think was the other guy, was the dead guy's girlfriend. Maybe. I don't remember.
From the short story, you know, a lot of it had to do with teenage lust. You know, they were checking out these girls pretty bad. You know, they were fucking looking at the asses and all and talking shit. You know what I mean? And they were lust. He even tried to dry hump that girl while the monster was out.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. Because so two of the people are dead. So they've seen what this monster can do, right? This oil slick monster. So they fall asleep. They get a few hours of shut eye. The dude wakes up first. She's laying on the raft, and while she's asleep, he's like,
I'm going to get this.
I'm going to grope that.
Yeah.
While she's sleeping.
Yeah. And well, he was like a nerd, and I think he was a virgin. He had never scored.
But I'm like,
were all teenagers and shit. Yeah. But
that's what I'm saying about poor decisions. So he starts like making out with her instead of like trying to figure out a way to get them both off the raft.
Reached up there, grabbed her too,
and then it ripped her face off. Ripped her face off while he's there trying to feel her titties. So, you know. Special. And then while she was getting eaten, he's like, oh, well, here's my chance. And then
It made sense back in the day.
Like I said.
Back in the day, you know, whenever sex came up amongst teenagers, you were likely to get killed. Jason would come in or Freddie would come in. You know, well, that's it. It was perfect. Made perfect sense.
That's true. That's a, like I said. The minute you hormones, man.
The
minute you got your panties taken off, it's like someone was getting a machete through the forehead.
That's the way it was back then.
Now the third story is.
This is a good one.
I think this is the best one. It definitely
this one was
has,
worthy of the first movie. Actually,
I think so too.
I liked all the stories. It's just that this one kind of had kind of a humorous angle to it. That was present in the first movies.
I think that if this had been in the first one, I don't think anyone would have complained.
No.
Think this is easily the best story. And I think it's basically down to, like you said, the dark humor. I think it's down to the acting, too, because the woman that plays...
Rich bitch runs over black dude.
The character... Yeah. Well, no, she's like cheating on her husband. This is, again, like I said, about a lot of the characters being morally gray and no one's likable and stuff. Even though, like, and shitty stuff happens to them. So she's, like, hired some gigolo or something. Well, he is a gigolo, isn't he? Because she pays him.
Yeah.
So she's humping some guy, and then she's like, oh, shit, I gotta get home before my husband gets home so he doesn't find out that I'm humping a gigolo. And,
Well, she was a gold digger.
Yeah, so while she's driving home, she... Well, I think at first she blows past, like, a hitchhiker because it's like, oh, it's a black man. And also, like, he looks like a bum.
Well, he had a sign.
He had a sign. He was going to Dover, right?
Yeah.
So she blows past him, but then later on she ends up...
She was in her BMW.
Yeah, hitting him or someone else hits him or something like that. Does she hit him?
I know she hits him later. She leaves him wounded on the road.
That's right.
Yeah.
So the hitchhiker spends the rest of this story...
I think she hit him.
Kind of like trying to take revenge on this woman. So it's like, so he's kind of... basically zombified, and he's like coming back trying to get her.
Every time she passes him again. She keeps passing.
And he's like hanging onto the car, like underneath.
And he's like,
and he keeps
ride,
saying, thanks for the ride.
Thanks for the ride. And she passes him, and he comes out again, and then she hits him. It's pretty cool.
Oh, the best part of this, though,
she just can't get rid of him. He's hanging on the side of the car.
Like I said, I think what makes this good, other than the gore, which is awesome, and she keeps running over this dude, and it's kind of like, it's sick, but it's also really funny.
Yeah.
But she's good in it because. She has this kind of like monologue going because she talks to herself,
which I
do too.
Yeah.
So she's in her car, like talking to herself, like trying to sort everything out. And it's just funny because it's like really relatable, but also she's really like sarcastic and snarky and stuff. And it's really funny. So, and she's in this like unbelievable situation and she's just kind of like, what the fuck is going on?
She keeps hitting the same dude and then leaving him in the dust. And then she hits him again. He's up in front of it.
I think the best part of it is when. She runs him into the tree, and then she keeps backing up and hitting him, and backing up and hitting him, and then it's like all that's left is this little smush thing,
with
like little eyeballs like hanging off on stalks and shit like that, And so after a while, like she keeps hitting him and hitting the tree and hitting the tree, and she'd be like, die, 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 and then she's either knocked out or she hits her head on the steering wheel or something, and then she wakes up later on. And the guy's gone, and there's no blood or anything like that, so she thinks it was all a dream. So she's like, oh, thank heavens, I just hit a tree or whatever. And then she goes home, and she's, like, sitting in her garage, and, like, the husband's coming home and stuff like that. And then you think it's all over, that she opens the door, and he's all, thanks to the ride, ladies, like, this one. And he's all, like, fucked up and everything, and he comes out with the sign and all that other shit.
Yeah.
So he gets killed.
Yeah.
Now, so those are the three main stories. Like I said, there were two other ones, you know, that one of them was filmed for Tales from the Dark Side. The other one was never filmed. I feel like the other story was somebody on Kickstarter tried to raise money to film it. And I think they got enough money, but I'm not sure if they ever filmed it. Like I said, it didn't really sound like, it sounded like two rival bowling teams and then they were zombified or something. I don't really get it, but whatever. But we didn't talk about the animated...
Yeah, wraparound story.
Wraparound, which, much like the first one, it was like a little kid who was into the Creepshow magazine, but was being picked on. Now, in the first one, he was being picked on by his dad, so he took revenge on his dad. In this one, he was being picked on by bullies. So what he does is he orders this Venus flytrap from an ad in the back of the Creepshow magazine.
Yeah.
And so between each of the things, there's little things of him like being chased by the bullies. There's him picking up the package of the plant. And then like in the last one, when he's being chased by the bullies, you can see that it's just like a little shop of horrors. You know, the Venus flytraps have grown like really big and they eat all the bullies. So there's that. So I think there's a bit in the beginning before it goes animated, because I think it's live action for a second. And I think that the creep who is throwing the Creepshow magazines out of the back of the truck, I'm pretty sure that's Tom Savini, but the mask that they made him wear is so bad. It's just like sub Spencer's level.
Right.
And I'm just like, come on. It's like, that's Tom Savini. He could have done a better... Why did they even put a mask on him at all is what I'd like to know. Why couldn't he just be Tom Savini and he could just be just like, oh, what's up,
for what
kid?
It was, it's not as good as the first
Well,
first
like
one.
I said.
But it's a decent movie. It's still watchable. Although I think, you know, it was what it was. It was a movie of the time.
Now, I have heard...
For the market of that day. Yeah.
Like I said, Tales from the Dark Side is generally considered, you know, like a spiritual sequel to this movie.
Cause I remember that one being
It's very
better.
Much, it is actually very good. Yeah. It's in a similar kind of vein. Now, I should note...
They had a whole TV series, too, that came out after that.
Yeah.
Tales from the Dark Side. I remember that being pretty good, even though it was low budget.
Yeah.
It's kind of Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, there was actually an official Creepshow 3, but I'm going to put that in little bunny rabbit ears because it wasn't actually official. It was a sequel in name only. What it was some Cheap Jack production company bought the rights to the Creepshow name and said, oh, I'm going to make an anthology horror movie. And I have not seen it, although I must say that I saw Brandon Tenold's channel.
Yeah.
If you guys need to check that shit out, because he is funny as hell.
Yeah,
and he does like kind of MST type riffage on just the shittiest movies imaginable and some good ones too. He actually did one on Creepshow 3, and from what I saw, the clips I saw of it, it looks like an abomination before the Lord.
Well,
it's just really, really bad.
The brand had declined, of course. You know what I mean?
Well, it didn't have anything to do with the other ones. It was just the name. There was no one that was involved with the first two movies had anything to do with the third one. It was just some cheap-ass thing that was trying to take advantage of a known intellectual property, but without any of the talent involved.
That happens a lot, of course.
I mean, it looked... I haven't seen the whole thing. I don't think that I would be able to sit through the whole thing just from the clips I've seen it, but it looks wretched as hell.
Well, they kind of said Tales from the Hood did the same thing. The first Tales from the Hood was supposed to be really good, but evidently they started to get really bad.
Do you know Tales from the Hood, I think...
I saw the first one. I liked it.
I think it's on Shudder, but I don't know if the first one or the second one or maybe both. Yeah. We might have to check that out.
Yeah, I remember seeing Tales from the Hood 1, the first one. I remember liking it.
Yeah, I remember liking it, too.
That was a long time
ago. I don't
think
I saw the second one, though.
Yeah, but from what I heard, like, the second one was pretty damn bad. I think there's three of them. And they just progressively got worse.
I'll check Shudder later because I'm pretty sure at least one of them.
Same
on there.
Thing
I don't
happened
know
to that
is
what happened with, you know, Creepshow. Was that, you know what I mean? It gets worse and worse.
Yeah, the first one is, like, amazing.
Amazing. And then
the
goes,
second one is decent.
Right.
The third one is just complete and utter horseshit.
Yeah.
So I've heard. And from the clips I've said, it definitely looks like. And it looks like it was just shot for like $5 or something like that. I mean, I love anthology movies. Like I said, we'll have to do Cat's Eye. We're going to do Tales from the Dark Side. We may even do Tales from the Hood, too,
if I haven't seen it in a long time.
If it's as good as I remember.
Right.
And I also want to do some older ones, too. Maybe some Hammer, the Amicus ones that they used to do. But like House
of Dripped
Blood.
If we're going to do Tales from the Hood, if Tales from the Hood's good, we ought to do Candyman, too, because I remember liking that one.
Well, Candyman's been on my list since the beginning, also.
All right.
Because I fucking love Candyman.
That was a good one.
Yeah. That was easily one of the best. I mean, other than Hellraiser, easily one of the best Clive Barker adaptations. We'll definitely get around to doing that. All right. So, like I said, if you like the first Creepshow, I don't see, you know, the second one is obviously a big step down, but it's still like a fun time. And the third story, I think, is easily the best one, but they're all pretty good. So check it out if you haven't. Like I said, it's mostly the same people involved, so it's not like some big different thing. It was just kind of a cheaper version of the first one. So check it out if you haven't already. And that will do it for our latest movie retrospective on Creepshow 2. Remember, if you like the show, like, share, subscribe on all your social media. If you'd like to financially support the show, you may do so, and it would be much appreciated. You can go to our Patreon page, patreon.com/13oclockpodcast, or go to our blog, 13oclockpodcast.wordpress.com, and there's a PayPal button in the sidebar. Go right to an account where you can give a one-time donation. Remember, our movie retrospectives come out every Friday, 13 o'clock matinee, 3 new movies in the theater, that comes out every Sunday, and our regular episodes come out every Tuesday, and our patrons get a day early, so you get to see all the episodes a day earlier than everyone else does, so go check that out if you would. We will see you next time. Bye.